Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider Week 2 High School Football Podcast presented by Sioux City Ford, CNOS, and our friends over at Fairway Meat and Grocery. And Mitch, fantastic Week 1 that we saw last week. Some very entertaining games. And, you know, look for more of the same this week. We got some teams looking to even the record at 1-1. We've got a couple teams surprised 1-0 and looking to be 2-0. So that's where we stand, and let's go ahead and get to it.
Yeah, we'll start off with our players, our helmet stickers. And, you know, looking at week one, I hope we get the same week in week two. We started off with such a bang with so many close games, so many we even had some upsets, some games we didn't think were going to happen, but some guys really showed out. And we'll post the helmet stickers for week one, week two on Sunday. We're a little late to the party on week one, but we'll each nominate every week three guys, and we'll try to do different teams. Three guys that we saw that stood out that we were going to give a helmet sticker to. So if you want to go first, Marty, or if you want to go in and out, totally works.
Nope, I'll go ahead and go first. I got three players, just like you said. The game that involved the three players took place over at South Sioux City at their beautiful new complex. South Sioux City upset Sioux City North. And running back, junior Tony Palmer, 223 yards, 4 touchdowns, impressive. Saw him at some off-season camps over the winter. He did nothing but impress the coaches that were around and the scouts that were there to watch him. DeMarco Young, Sioux City North, other side of the field there, 70-yard punt return, over 200 yards rushing, and Dayton Harrell, 90-yard kickoff return, a pick, and does a little bit of everything for North on both sides of the football. So those are my three players that really stood out week one, Mitch. And I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, you had the luxury of having such a good game that you're able to pick all three. I was able to split mine up a little bit. I'll go to Woodbury Central, Eric McGill, two kick returns, 112 yards and a touchdown. But then you flip it over to his receiving stats, 6 catches, 138 yards and a touchdown in their 3-point win over Lawton Bronson, which, you know, I think if you put it up with any of the other games, was probably the game of the week. Just a great, great overall game by both teams, and it kind of seemed like whatever team won deserved to win, but neither team deserved to lose that game. But great, great matchup. It's always good when you get a rivalry game week one. Another game that's kind of almost turned into a rivalry, Lamar's and Sergeant Bluff, Tegan Castle. We went and spoke to him yesterday. Didn't even need to throw the ball a ton. 15 attempts. But 117 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then pulled out his inner Lamar Jackson and just ran for 143 of his own with 2 more touchdowns in their monstrous victory over Sergeant Bluff, 41-13. Look for more to come with Tegan as they actually take on Sioux City North coming up this week. Yeah. And then Bo Goodwin, a team that we talked a lot about last year and are going to have to talk a lot about this year because they got some good players. It's Kingsley Pearson's Bo Goodwin, 307 total yards on offense, 3 touchdowns, and then go on the defensive side. Oh, guess what? I'm just going to have a Cooper DeGene type day. Give me 3 picks as well. Yeah. Bo Goodwin, Kingsley Pearson is my third helmet sticker. And we talked about it. There were so many good games all across Iowa. There was good games on the east side of the state. Obviously, we were blessed on this side. Good games in South Dakota with DV and EPJ. And then obviously a good game in Nebraska with South Sioux and North. Just really good football for week one. I couldn't have been more happy. But, now we're on to week two, and we'll talk about a team in South Dakota that's really been on the rise, especially a lot last year, the 11B champs, Elk Point Jefferson, starting off 2-0, but they do have a bit of a test, Marty.
Yeah, they do. And you had mentioned a few injuries too as well. I'll let you speak to that, but going to take a workmanlike effort this week, taking on Sioux Valley, and that should be a heck of a game, Mitch.
Yeah, at Sioux Valley too, it's a big, big game there. So first game, we won against Baltic, 41-6. Garrett Merkley had the 3 touchdown game, and I was posted that I wanted to see him score 3 more. He actually didn't play in the Parker game. And we'll kind of see how he is going into this one. If they does play against Sioux Valley, or if they take, because they do have a bye week coming up here, too. Yeah. So you don't want to rush a guy back in too quick. But, you know, just as far as, you know, just team stats, team highlights, we'll go to the Parker game, the most recent game. They won 48-6. This team so far in two games is +8 in the turnover margin, which is just unbelievable. Yeah. Absolutely unbelievable. But, you know, you look at the stats and the highlights and everything, it's a team that's well-balanced. It is a team that last year we were like, okay, they have 15 seniors, but when those 15 seniors leave, what do we have left over? And they've really came back and just done the exact same thing. They put the guys in position to be able to win, and, you know, the quarterback position is taken care of. They're really good running the ball. Defensively, only allowing 6 points in both our games. It's going to be a good test against a really good Sioux Valley team who, in their first two games, have done exactly the same, limiting their opponents and outscoring them by, I believe, 38 is the margin they've outscored their opponents by as well. It should be just a really good game. Good, I think it's a good opening test, especially going into a bye week for Coach Terry's team. You know, love to see him go 3-0. But if you go 2-1 into the bye week, you get to rest some injuries, especially with having that week zero game. You get another bye week coming up as well. So you'll be able to rest your guys and be able to have the rest of your season be impactful. And I think that it's a team that needs to grab momentum middle to late of the season, because, you know, once they get to play in some of these teams that they saw in the playoffs last year, you know, you saw the scores go from 50-0, and all of a sudden they got a little closer and a little closer, and then you get to that game, the championship game against Winter. You want to be battle tested. You want to be hit some adversity early, so that way you're able to know when to what to do, what to adapt. And, you know, this coaching staff does a really good job of putting a good game plan together. So even if they were to go 2-1 into the bye week, I still think they would be off to a really great start. But it's kind of seeming like it's more of the normal up there in Elk Point. Just keep winning games and, you know, resting guys in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Team playing with a heck of a lot of confidence, and how can you blame them?
No, absolutely not. Going into Lamar's and Sioux City North, a team that's playing with a ton of confidence. Lamar's talking about the helmet sticker with Tegan, but some other guys that really played well. Bo Waddle receiving with 81 receiving yards and a touchdown, only on 4 catches. And then you go to the other side. They were really, and we talked to Coach Vigdal, they were super opportunistic. You know, when the defense had to flex their muscles, they did. They turned the ball over to Sergeant Bluff and gave it to him inside the 20-yard line, held him to a field goal.
Yep.
On the other side, they returned, I believe, at least one fumble for a touchdown. Another one set them up inside the red zone, and they were able to capitalize and score on that. A game that was 17-10 at the half. Go in, make your adjustments, and you're riding a little bit of momentum going into halftime, and the game's completely different second half. And you made a team that we saw in exhibition against Sioux City North, and we thought we were really high on Sergeant Bluff. We thought they played with great intensity and pace, and you went out and you just really took it to them. So this is a Lamar's team that sits in Class 4A that people need to worry about. We've gone to now 2 or 3 practices. It's very efficient in how they practice.
Great up-tempo practice, and, I mean, the ball's not on the ground a lot either. They execute really well. You know, I'm impressed with the job their offensive line's done when I've seen them.
Yeah, and it's just a team that's bought into it. They understand their job, you know, and on the defensive side, they pride themselves in getting opportunities for their offense. And it's just a team that last year won game, and I mean this in a positive way, but the team that won games ugly, and they learned how to win ugly, and now they're winning. I don't want to say pretty, but they're winning, and they're not having to come away with a late turnover in the fourth quarter because the game's already sealed off in the second quarter. They're you know, we talked about how they have to establish a run game, you know, earlier to get the ball moving so they're multidimensional. If they're able to get all the key pieces that they're wanting to run in their offense, because once this offense is going, it's a well-balanced machine. They know that what they get on defense, and North's got their hands full. But you flip over to the North side, they had some injuries. Yeah. We'll see if they get any of their guys back this week. You know, South Sioux City came out with an intensity, and I don't think North was really prepared for. On the top side of that, though, too, you talk about your two helmet sticker guys. I don't think you can stop either of the two. You have to limit them, yeah. And you kind of have to live with, you know, DeMarco more than likely is going to break one run to the outside. You know, Dayton's going to be open, break a couple tackles on a pass play. You know, you got to be really mindful of both of them on special teams. They are going to beat you on a couple plays. Don't let them beat you all four quarters, and Lamar's will be in good shape. And in Sioux City North, I mean, you have so much attention drawn to two guys.
Yeah.
A underclassman or a senior that hasn't done so yet needs to step up,
mm-hmm.
because looking at their schedule, they're going to be able to be in a lot of games, but you can't just rely on two guys. And so far, and it's a small sample size, just yeah. South Sioux City.
Yeah.
So far, I've seen two guys that have been above the rest. I'm not saying that other guys aren't giving effort, but two guys stuck out to me that were a bit above the rest in that South Sioux game, and that would be Young and Harrell. So I guess it's kind of just, it's your senior year, man. You only get so many more games, and I know this team, for lack of a better term, all the way since their freshman year, has been told, hey, you're North. You're only going to win three games a year. Rewrite your story. Yeah. I mean, this could be a team that we looked at the schedule, could win six or seven games, depending on how the chips fall.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them write the story for you and only win three games. Go out and do something that you haven't done for a while. Get back into the playoffs and show a team that, you know, there's more than just one Sioux City school that can make the playoffs.
Yeah. For me, as far as North goes, very rare that you return a kickoff for a touchdown and a punt for a touchdown and lose. I think what really dictated North not winning the game is turnovers and their backbreakers, and then you know, turnover on downs too, just as good as a turnover.
Yeah.
So you know, young quarterback Noah Conley kind of learning his way here. You know, you just, like you said, there needs to be somebody else that steps up here, junior, maybe it's a sophomore, somebody that can, an additional weapon on offense. Now, Zach Hesse was out last week. I don't know his situation.
Yeah, he's back. That's a game changer. Big tight end, yeah, big linebacker. Big tight end. Absolutely.
You got to be able to use the middle of the field with your tight end because, as you mentioned, the two kids, Young and Harrell, on the outside, well, Young backfield, but they're drawing so much attention that, you know, you can hit a tight end down the seam and, you know, have a good gain out of it. And it just throws a little bit more caution to the wind for a defense that's preparing for North. But anxious to see the outcome of this game. North needs this one really bad. And Lamar's is really looking sharp to me right now.
And a lot of it, too, is you look at a lot of teams, and if they match up evenly, it's how did the week of preparation look? Or you know, how did you prepare yourself, film room, in practice, and installs, everything like that? And then just kind of what team wants it more. We talked to Coach Vigdal. He's like, hey, we lost a game last year that we didn't think we were supposed to lose.
Right.
We came out the very next week and played the best football we've played.
Mm-hmm.
If North brings that to the table, I mean, North has every chance to win this game as much as Lamar's does. It's going to be, do you limit the mistakes? Those turnovers were backbreakers. We almost had three turnovers returned for touchdowns. Two of them were, one was nearly turned back for a touchdown. That's 21 points off the board. You easily beat South Sioux City with 21 points off the board.
Yeah.
You capitalize on fourth down. I think there was three or four fourth down plays where they weren't able to successfully get first downs. And you talked about it. I thought they did a really good job on special teams. Returned two kicks for touchdowns. And there were just, I think there were three or four really big plays that South Sioux had that were backbreakers for them. Mm-hmm. Tony Palmer's a heck of a back, and he's going to make going to make a lot of people miss.
Yeah.
And I think you can live with one or two of those touchdowns, but there were some missed tackles.
Yeah.
Maybe that has to do with the lack of depth at linebacker. But North is going to have a chance, and for not just this game, but every game that they're in, because they have a lot of talent at multiple positions. They're not just strong at linebacker. They're not just strong at corner. They're not just strong at D-line. I mean, they have guys at different positions. You know, some guys that are going to play collegiately for football for the next 4 years, they have guys that are able to stay with the teams that they're going to play. you just got to bring it to the table, and everyone's got to play together. And I think Mitch Moore will get them to where they need to be. Mitch and his staff do a really good job. He's a great coach, great motivator. It should be an interesting one down in Lamar's. I'm not gonna get on the social media train and go against Lamar's this week, but I definitely think it's gonna be a lot closer than what people think down there.
Yeah, should be a good game.
Moving to a team that's dealt with an injury already this season, but has already started off the year 1-0. Bishop Heelan, with Isaiah Favors going down, that was, to me, it was a demoralizing injury. But how the seniors and the rest of the group corralled around each other to come back and win, it's a huge, huge victory. Only 7 passing attempts. That to me is kind of crazy. It's old school football. But they're able to, still get out of the 7 passing attempts, 110 yards. They ran the ball really efficiently. They played really good defense. We did ask on Twitter for people to send their questions in. And Marty, the one question we got for Bishop Heelan was, is the 2023 Bishop Heelan team back?
Right. Great question. I think, as of right now, it's too early to say. In my opinion, I need to see another 4, maybe another 8 quarters of football, because I'm really curious how they're going to replace the production that Isaiah Favors had last season. I had him forecasted for probably 1,100 yard season on the ground this year. So this team is much better than last year. These seniors rally together at Heelan around that injury, like you have mentioned. I really like this team, and I like the way their schedule sets up. So for me, it's kind of a wait-and-see approach, but I think that they're skilled enough and talented enough in their roster to have a very successful season. And we'll see how they do on the road here at AL this week. AL's got a pretty good running back there, but I really like the combination of quarterback Olsen to tight end Cannon Bork for Heelan. Cannon Bork put in a ton of offseason work at different camps that I attended. And, he's just made himself a better and better player. Not only is an inline blocking tight end, he plays defensive end too, but over on the offensive side, he can carry a linebacker downfield and beat him downfield, which we saw last Friday night with Olsen's touchdown pass to Bork. So I'm excited to see and hear the outcome of this Heelan AL game, Mitch.
And I would kind of footnote off of your answer too. It is early. You played a 2A Kemper team last year that won 8 games, so a good returning 2A team. You did win on a goal line stand, which is something that didn't happen last year. So I think all the pieces are in the right direction. Would you love to have a back like Isaiah Favors to lead the charge? Absolutely. I you could walk to any 3, 4A, 2A, whatever school around here and be like, hey, we got a running back that's possibly going to run for 1,200 plus yards. A physical back that does everything right. Do you want him? And no one's going to turn that away.
Yeah.
But with what they have, like you said, with Bork and Olsen, they got some other receivers on the outside too.
Sabanos is a good one.
You talk about some other guys. So Brandon Watts is going to have to do his job at tailback. But looking at AL, they have a good quarterback that is kind of multidimensional himself. Etienne Higgins, a junior, threw last week against West 240 yards and 3 touchdowns and also rushed for 87 yards and a touchdown. So Heelan's going to have their defensive hands full against them. It's a good team, a team that's sits in the 5A bracket. So for them to be able to go up and play a team of that caliber, and especially on the road to get a win, that's a huge tally that you can put on in the season. And for them to start off 2-0 after next week, depending on how the game goes, I would definitely be more bought in. I definitely, starting off the season, this team will definitely win more games than they did last year. It's just going to be the duration of the season, because more injuries are going to happen, just the way that football is. We talked about how they do have a pretty favorable schedule after these couple games. East is going to be an interesting eye test. AL obviously is an interesting eye test. And it's going to all come down to where you match up with a lot of these teams playoff-wise, because I do think that Helon is a playoff team, even with one week of what we were able to see. And it just kind of depends on where the chips fall, because I think there's a lot of teams, especially in that district, that are the teams that they're going to play that are a lot of the same team. They just don't have a it factor, a big guy that's like, oh, you got to watch out for them. Harlan, probably on the other side that you'll play later on in the playoffs, that's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
That's a team that's more than likely going to clean clock the rest of their games. They lost a close one to a really good Lewis Central team. They're going to be dangerous. And I think it's going to be kind of the who can limit them to the least amount of points that they've scored. So, but we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be a good game between AL and Helon, and we'll see how that one ends out. But team that played AL and lost a kind of a closer game, 28-13. I thought it was a little bit closer than what it could be. Sioux City West,
yep,
travels over to South Sioux. South Sioux making their second appearance at the home turf, and should be a good matchup there between a team in South Sioux, which I wasn't so sure about when the season started, but after watching the game, man, their quarterback running back duo is pretty deadly.
Yeah, it really is, and they operate very well in the run game. And Darius Helms, I think he's a better passer when he's out of the pocket on the move, and throws a really nice ball out there. So look for South Sioux City to check the edges right away on West, and see if they can get outside on him in the run game, get that bootleg going in the passing game. And if you're West, you know, we talked to the kids there at practice this week, and they played hard. They were proud of the effort that they put out. They're just looking to clean some things up this week offensively and sustain drives and finish in the end zone. So very anxious to see the outcome of South Sioux City and West, Mitch.
You look at the stats too, and I think this is kind of interesting. The stats that Young and that, you know, Harrell ran a couple times, they had really good numbers against this defensive front, and something that I know that when we attended practice, they wanted to try to clean up. Shamar Harrell against AL had 15 carries, 117 yards, and both their touchdowns. Yeah. He is a similar back to what Young is.
True.
Maybe not as fast, but probably a little bit bigger, a little more physical. You know, don't get yourself into a trap game where you're trying to run up the score against Sioux City West, because that's a game I think they're comfortable playing. You know, they won last year's game in an absolute thriller at Olsen Stadium, 35-33. They scored with, you know, as the time was expiring. This is going to be a dogfight. And I think that Sioux City West, you know, last year we talked to Harrell, and he's like, last year we would have kind of just sat down and folded. But this year we stayed together, played to the last whistle. It's a different, you know, kind of a community feel for these guys. Everyone has each other's backs, you know. And West has some big dudes that are able to play. Alonzo Cota, you know, had 11.5 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss. Nice, really good. I think their corners are athletic enough to make plays. Their defensive line's pretty tough. You got the Yule kid, Jacob Yule.
Yeah, good lineman.
Good offensive
and defensive line, and then defensive line. He's a good stout kid in there.
So they got guys on all three sides of the all three tiers of the ball on defense that can make plays. So I mean, South Sioux City, I mean, be happy that against the week one game with North, but don't take Sioux City West for granted, because you could go last two meetings with them and lose both in kind of an epic fashion.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, Lawton Bronson, after what we thought was the game of the week, travels up to West Lyon, who won a game that on paper looks like a bit of a blowout baseball score.
Yeah.
14-2.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know exactly what we were going to get out of West Lyon this year, losing pretty much everyone. I think they have like three or four seniors on their roster. It's a huge juniors class, and there's some sophomores that have made their way up. Three completions on 12 pass attempts for West Lyon. They are a run team.
Yeah.
But they do have a very talented back in Tate Hoff that's able to do so. 12 rushing attempts for 136 yards and two touchdowns. I think I would go home and keep my chest high if I was West Line there. So good offensive line, a young offensive line that we talked about, too. And, you know, we talked to Coach Turwee, and he's like, hey, this is probably one of the youngest teams that we've ever seen. But it's a team that has bought in, and it's a team that, you know, now in a game that's a low-scoring game, knows how to win a game that's a bit sluggish on offense. But in order for them to, I believe, in order for them to win this game, they're going to have to win a game where they're going to have to score a lot of points. Lawton Bronson's coming in, and they are firing on all cylinders. They played one of the better games they played against Woodbury Central in a very long time. Brayden Heiss, I thought, was really good. He did have the two interceptions. I know both he definitely wants back, but he was throwing the ball really well, really efficient, 21 to 30 for 248. They ran the ball extremely well, which I thought was going to be a question mark. Teager had 103 yards and two touchdowns. And then you got Loudon Grimsley and Garnan on the outside. It's just a team that you want them to be one-dimensional so that way you can try to focus all your guys on those two receivers. But you got, you know, Teager running for 103 yards and two touchdowns on only 15 attempts. That's basically, if you go to the other side, it's almost a Tate Hoff kind of feel at tailback. So
Jaminet had a nice game for Lawton Bronson, too, and running back.
And he had a good on defense, too. He also had a pick and six tackles. This Lawton team is a lot different than in years past. In years past, they had a good passing attack. Rushing attack was there. Hit and miss. Offensive line had a bit of injury bug, couldn't kind of figure things out. Defense, they got – I mean, it was – they got ran through like a
–
like a Macy's Day Parade. It was I mean, just kept letting guys go through. This year, a lot better. They really did a good job in the Woodbury Central game of really stopping the run and establishing a run themselves and dictating tempo in the game. You know, people kind of forget, if you weren't at the game, you know, Lawton Bronson had to come from behind, had to lead and then had to come from behind, I believe. And against a team like Woodbury Central, that's not easy to do. The Woodbury Central just doesn't give up leads. So for them to stay in the game, stay connected, play a full four quarters, and then to end up only losing by three against Woodbury Central, who last year pretty much walked you out of the building. This team is leaps and bounds of where it was last year. And I think, you know, last year's game, West Lyon versus Lawton Bronson, with the two teams would have been a bit of an overkill. West Line has had an incredible team last year. This year is very interesting on paper. It's going to be interesting to me. Lawton going on the road after the emotional highs of losing a game like that. How do those kids respond? A lot of those seniors want to go out and go into the playoffs. How do they respond after this game? And, you know, you can go, your season can go one of two ways. You can wipe it, flush it, and turn around and turn the season around. Or you can say, hey, you know, the one game we wanted to win to open the season, we weren't able to do so. And then they can tuck their legs and run. But I know, especially with Garnanda as coach and a lot of the seniors that we've talked to, they do not want to go out that way. They're going to give their best foot forward, and I think they're going to have a very impressive game come on Friday up at West Lyon.
Yeah, I'd agree. And having taken in that game over at Lawton last week, I saw a completely different team. I think the addition of Roger Jansen to the coaching staff has really had an impact. I see kids that believe in each other. They believe in the game plan. And, I mean, they got down 14 to nothing. And I guarantee you, everybody on the Lawton Bronson side was like, oh, here we go again. Then they rattled off three unanswered touchdowns. And all of a sudden, you take an 18-14 lead into the half. Just that alone gives you great confidence, because we all know what Woodbury Central plays damn good football, and they're well coached. So you do that, and basically they proved to them. I thought it was a prove me game, and I think that Lawton Bronson really proved to themselves that they can play at that level of football. And you know, they had a 50 some yard run to the end zone called back due to a hold. And I mean, things like that, you know, hurt you. But no, I like the makeup of this Lawton Bronson team. I have a ton of respect for West Lyon, but they're gonna have to throw for more than 20 yards to beat Lawton Bronson, because Lawton Bronson's gonna test their corners right away. on some deep routes, and they need to hold up. Otherwise, you know, I think Lawton could run away here early in this contest.
Yeah, and I think, well, you put it to the other side. It's a game that we're not too keen on watching, but Woodbury Central then has a game against Westwood, a team that they handled business for last couple years very well again, too.
Mm-hmm.
How does Woodbury Central respond after an emotional game like that, too? I know they got guys in line, and, you know, Coach Bremer, they know what they're doing. I would like to just see if McGill and Clunder and Butler and all of them, if do they have a little bit of a kind of a regress game, or are they just firing on all cylinders and going to do it the entire season? If they get a really good game out of all three of those, look out.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a team that's going to, honestly, looking at their schedule, they're going to roll through some people, and it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, I think they'll come out smoking in terms of Woodbury Central. And, you know, those are three really experienced players that you mentioned. Eric McGill is just – he's an extraordinary athlete. I mean, he impacts both sides of the football. And I just think that they'll take care of business, and then they want to develop some depth. So I look for them to get some kids – some snaps and repetitions tomorrow night in the contest against Westwood.
Yeah, next man up kind of mentality for that.
Yep.
Then the final game of our slate here, a game I'll be calling on Metro Sports Television at Olson, a matchup of two teams that kind of got off to sluggish starts, Sioux City East and Sergeant Bluff Luton, the battle of the orange and blacks, if you will, the Halloween
mm-hmm.
matchup.
Mm-hmm.
A game that I thought could go one of two ways. Either like this, both teams start off the season 0-1, or both teams start off the season 1-0, and we have a matchup that is a little bit more appealing. Now, this game is very interesting. I think the way that Sergeant Bluff played against Lamar's was a bit concerning. You know, you have a really talented back in Xavier Ellington, only able to get 40-some yards, and he had a fumble that was returned for 6. There's still question marks at the quarterback position, and I think that the defense in the first half played extremely well. Second half kind of tethered off. You want to make sure that and Coach Smith is going to have his guys play a full four-quarter game, especially against a rival like Sioux City East. But there's some playmakers. I wasn't able to see much of the stats until just today, but Cal Jepson was 20 of 40, so they did throw a lot of passing attempts, almost 12 more than Sergeant Bluff, but threw for 347 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Miles Wagger will be a guy that you need to watch. You know, the last name Wagger kind of haunts Sergeant Bluff memories from Brandon's days, but heck of a game. 17 attempts rushing for 73 yards and a touchdown, and he had 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. I know he had a screen that he took 88 yards to the house. Yep. This is a team, you know, under offensive play caller with Goodwin and, you know, with Winkelpleck, he's kind of, you know, showing a little bit more this year of their identity. And they're a team that's not afraid to play defensively football, but they're still going to air it out. They're still going to drive the ball down the field, and they're going to take their shots. They're not afraid of doing so. Sioux City East this week has to be more efficient on third down, on fourth down, and then just making sure they're not turning the ball over will be huge. Sustaining drives was something that they really struggled with against Glenwood. I know they were on third down conversions, they were around 30, the mid-30s in percentage, and then on fourth down, I believe they were 1 of 6. So mm-hmm. 5 times on just turnover on downs, you gave the ball back to Glenwood and still only lost 28-24.
Could have won.
Yeah, absolutely could have won. But a game that at Olson that's really intriguing to me because both teams come off a loss.
Yeah.
Both teams kind of have a lot to prove, not something to prove, a lot to prove. And one team's going to walk out with a 500 record. The other team's going to walk out 0-2. And then a lot of self-reflecting happens after that game. You know, you hate to see it, but you want the locker room to stay together, no finger-pointing. Because the season could go from 0-2 to 0-3, 0-4 really quickly for either of these teams. Because the schedules for both these schools do not get any easier after this rivalry game.
No, and I just want to say how impressed I am with sophomore quarterback, Cal Jepsen. I think, you know, I've seen him play as he's grown up, and he's a really skilled athlete. He's a hell of a baseball player, but he got three other receivers involved that you had mentioned to me were over 100 yards receiving.
Yeah,
too,
that was really impressive.
I like the way he distributes the ball, and if they continue to protect him, he'll have a really good game Friday night.
Yeah, well, you talk about last year. I mean, it was kind of not just the Jacobson show, but you know, Kellen was a monster athlete, and it felt like any time a third down play came in, the ball was going over to his side. Now, I mean, it is just a small sampling size that we talked about just week one against Glenwood, but now there's three guys that had multiple catches for over 100 yards. Who do you cover for as your best corner if you're Sergeant Bluff? I don't know who to cover. Mm. You got to play kind of if you play man, you got to make sure you got a hat on a hat and make sure that you're playing the run well because they got talented running backs. And then if you play a zone, I mean, don't give Jepsen any time to pick that apart because he's been a good quarterback. He's been coached by his uncle and his dad. And, you know, I think a lot of their guys that got playing time in baseball, there's a couple guys that are younger that got playing time in baseball, really matured through baseball their strides in football. So it should be a good game. I know that they're, going to play a home game with heavy hearts after the loss of coach. But, it's going to be a great game. And I think, when you go back and look at this, if either of these teams want to turn their season around and make a push for postseason, this is the game where you turn your season around.
This is a pivotal game this week.
Should be a great one. A lot of bragging rights. I mean, these schools are probably the closest of any of the city schools, really, that are close to each other. I know that their social medias are buzzing this week, and it's kind of a bit of a rivalry game. Not quite East Helan, but it's kind of got that same feel to it, but should be a good game. I'm excited to be on the call for it on Metro Sports, so make sure you check that out as well. You talk about the loaded week one action. Week two, with these slate of games, looks like it's all the more reason to go get your butt out there, get in the seats. I know it's going to be a little hot.
Yeah.
Get in the seats, get a cold, refreshing beverage, and sit down and watch some really, really good high school football in the tri-state area.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it tomorrow evening. Thanks again to Sioux City Ford Lincoln, CNOS, and Fairway Meat and Grocery for sponsoring our high school football podcast. We'll talk to you next time.